Welcome back to the Challenge Total Madness Wrap-Up Podcast, episode 4. I am Brian Cohen. Here with me, as always, is my co-host, Allie Asher. Allie, how are you?
I'm doing great. I'm supercharged on two back-to-back great episodes of reality television. We're coming to you on a Wednesday night, right after we've watched the episode, and I'm jazzed. I'm ready to go.
Yeah. Both Survivor and Challenge delivered great episodes, very entertaining. We were talking about how it's weird to come off like the high of Survivor and then get another high from the Challenge, but back to back, they were both great. Very entertaining night of television. But
now I have nothing for tomorrow, so the crash is going to be so real. I need to... Go ahead, sorry.
No, I was going to say you can watch the NFL Draft, or you can watch Jersey Shore. You got two options there.
Yeah, I'll be fine. I'm going to stall the momentum here and change the topic from the Challenge and open up with a question about a tweet that I sent out last night from Kyle Picard, the great Kyle Picard. Who did Molly try to book on Cameo? Did you see this tweet, Brian, or am I muted?
I did. And I have been thinking about it because I wanted to come up with a good answer.
Akiva always accuses me of muting him when I haven't seen a tweet. Have you muted me or did you see every tweet I've ever tweeted?
So I think I narrowed it down to a few options. My first two thoughts were for you, like it would make sense to be Jemmy or Marie. I figured Marie would probably see it, so I feel like it wouldn't be her. And then I thought maybe TJ, and then I thought maybe Corey. And I thought Corey could blow it all because he just had a kid, so he wouldn't be in the mix. But I landed on Jemmy. So that Jemmy was my pick.
Now to be clear, like this request would have gone in over a week ago, because my birthday was a week ago today. So the request expired 2 days ago, which means Molly put it in like a day or two before my birthday. So Corey's like could in theory have done it prior to his to Taylor being
I figure like he's on the clock. He's got a lot going on. You don't know what's about to happen. So I feel like he had a lot of other stuff going.
But he also has another mouth to feed soon. So maybe needs the money because it's not like he gets the paycheck. So who's your official guess?
Jemmy.
Okay, I will say it was not Jemmy. Thank God, I would have been so devastated if she had declined. It was not Jemmy. Now, I was going to leave it as a blind item on Twitter. I wasn't going to say who it was. Because I also almost didn't tweet it because I went to this person's Twitter. Because, like, we're in quarantine. People have shit they're dealing with professionally, mental health-wise, family-wise, fear-wise. Far be it from me to demand somebody's 2 minutes on a Cameo. And I mean that sincerely, even though it sounds sarcastic. But this person has been tweeting quite a lot in the last few days. So I was like, okay, the person's like online. What I need to know, and I have not gone to Cameo to check this, is if this was a personal attack or if this person just is like, you know what? I don't need Cameo right now. Like, I'm not interested. I'm not ready to get on camera and be like, hi, happy birthday, which I would respect greatly. I also said to Molly, the best gift of all was that this was declined and not that it happened. But you were...
That's so funny. They saw it was for Allie last year. Fuck that. I'm declined.
Well, I asked. I said, Molly, what did you say? Were you just like, my friend Allie's birthday? No. Freaking Molly said, I want you to do this for my friend Allie. She has a podcast. And I'm like, so maybe it was personal.
So who was it?
Should I say or should we just let it be? No one at this person. No one cares. But this is just between us. Just between us squirrel friends here. Okay. It was Marie. So you were almost there. You were almost so there. You know, everyone has other shit going on.
She blew it off.
It's hilarious. I mean, look. The most likely case scenario is probably she has other shit going on like everybody else on the planet. And making a Cameo is not her top. And she missed all of her Cameo requests. The least likely scenario is the one we're going to go with, which is it's a personal attack and she hates us.
I think of all people, she loves you. I know you do have interactions with her, so it would be quite surprising if she decided not to do it. So I feel like she just must have just got lost.
I mean, loves me is a strong word. I once, I don't normally do this type of thing, but she responded to one of my tweets or I responded to one of her tweets and I was like, drinking by myself during the day at a bar in New York. I was like home from break and I was seeing a show by myself and I was having a beer like before the show. I wasn't like ripping shots alone in midday. Let's be clear. But I was like at a bar in Midtown and I like tweeted something that I thought was hilarious that was like, come meet me at this bar in Midtown. And then I was like, oh, she doesn't know me at all. And I just creepily was like, let's grab a drink in the middle of the day. So maybe from there, you know, maybe. No, the reality is that she doesn't know who we are from anybody else. And I never got that cameo. So
another one of our favorites, Devin on cam. I think it's Devin. I think, yeah. He said he's donating all of his cameo earnings to Corona Relief. So I thought that was very nice for him. So if you want to get a Devin cameo, it'll go straight to Corona Relief.
That is very nice. But Ryan, we also, nobody asked us about the birthday story we teased last week. So maybe no one cares. Yes. We shouldn't tell it.
I think maybe people just cut off the episode by the time we got to that point. So they might not have seen it.
So then let's, or heard it. So forget it then. You don't deserve it. You know, we're in a deficit.
I deserve it.
It's the worst time for podcast listening, and I'm guilty of that too. So I feel like we've been lopped off.
You think so? That'd be sad.
I mean, who wouldn't lop us off at these times? If you're dropping like 20 to 70% of your podcast listening, we're right there on the chopping block. Judy chops.
I think if anything, people are chopping the podcast off because there's no new fresh stuff that people are talking about. And we're one of the fresh things that people are talking about. So I think we should rise to the top.
Not in the world of television, but we, you know, this season will probably outlast. It'll definitely outlast Survivor, and it'll outlast most shows when they like end in May. So
are we going to outwit them too, or just outlast?
We're certainly not going to outwit anyone, but we'll be here. And I think, you know, we'll bide in it. We'll just be here and, you know. And we're just there.
Yeah. Best ability is availability.
All right. Well, so we're going to be, let's be needy. If you want to hear this birthday story, which now is a week old and probably wasn't that good to begin with, you can, I don't want to be mean. All right. Basically, my mom did a surprise Zoom.
No, we should just keep teasing it until your next birthday, until after that birthday.
No. Because, like, God forbid something happens to me, you know? It's like, I didn't want to record.
Don't put that into the world.
I don't like to pre-record anything or, like, not. You got to do it now. I got to rip it off. All right. Now we're 7 minutes in, haven't said a word about the challenge. Yada, yada, yada. My mom had a Zoom call with like all of my friends on it. Surprise. I was like not expecting it at all. I thought I was just going to talk with my mom and brother. And it was like my friends from high school, you know, the two people who still talk to me from high school, my college friends, my law school friends, my family friends, like the people who are like sisters to me, my brother, my actual brother and sister-in-law, my mother. And then late to the call, a box comes up. Brian Cohen. And I was like, what the hell is Brian doing here?
It was very surprising to see your mom's name pop up on my Facebook being like, Judy Lasher has requested to send you a message. I'm like, what is this about? And it was join a Zoom call. And I thought it was like the sweetest thing ever.
And then my mom tells me later, oh, I was going to reach out to Rob's sister Nino and Max Dawson to join the call. And I was like, why on earth would you reach out to a former professor of mine and Rob's sister Nino, who has famously said we're not friends on many podcasts? How pathetic would that be if my mom reached out to Rob's sister Nino to attend a Zoom birthday call?
And keep in mind, there were a lot of people on the Zoom call, so it was like over, like there was two pages of screens. That's how many people were on this. So if Rob popped up, he would have been like, where am I? I thought that. At least I knew of a couple of these people.
Were you surprised to see that people talk to me?
No, it was fun to see Jonathan Foreman on the screen. I think Molly Block was there.
Molly Block was there.
Of the program.
It was all the Jude.
Friend of the program.
The beautiful. Are you just modifying it slightly to piss her off?
No, I'm trying to make it more sincere.
She likes friend of the pod, not deep friend of the program. That's what it is now, though. Sorry, Molly. But yeah, it was very surreal to see Brian pop up, and then he when he was leaving, I was like, now do you see why I am the way that I am? Or like, now doesn't everything make a little more sense? You didn't answer that though.
No, I did not, and I still not. And it was just very overwhelming to it. Now it's like your goodbye, so I just messaged in the chat like I'm leaving and waved, because announcing a goodbye to a 30-person Zoom where you know one, maybe a couple more, is a lot, so that's how I exited.
Brian, you're not getting sympathy from me. You had to attend a 10-minute Zoom call where you knew multiple people. I attended your wedding where I knew zero people.
Oh, I had a great time with the Zoom call. Don't get me wrong.
In person. For hours. It's 10 minutes. You're like, oh, I didn't know people in my own apartment. Oh, so that must have been stressful for you.
It was very funny. You were like leading the conversation. You're like, all right, let's go to this section of the Zoom call. Let's go to this section. It was a lot of fun.
I think it was awkward for everyone. I said to my mom, I was like, I think it was a little awkward. She goes, just in the beginning. So that's my mom's official review.
Yeah, it was a good time.
My work friends were there. It was very surreal. Brian, happy that you were there. Also happy that my mom did not reach out to Max Dawson and Rob's sister Neil. Rob actually texted me happy birthday, and I was like, you dodged a real bullet because my mom apparently was going to invite you to a Zoom call. You know what he did? No response.
Left you on red.
All right. 11 minutes in. Should we talk about the challenge or should we just keep gabbing?
Normally when we do this, it's like a bad episode. This was actually a very fun episode. So a lot of good stuff to talk about.
I like that you think my level of banter is dependent on the quality of the episode. That would be professional. It's like whether or not I have something to say.
Well, it's time it worked hand in hand. I guess it did not go hand in hand.
It's quarantine. I live alone. I'm like happy to get you on the phone. Be here all day.
Yeah.
I have no friends. It's fine. No, you just saw two pages of them, apparently.
I did. Speaking of having no friends, Ashley seems to have no friends. Trying to make a friend in Maddie. Seemed like they formed a bond. It ended very quickly, but at least it seemed like they were forming a bond.
I'm not even being a jerk. I thought you said nanny, like, saw for a second. I was like, oh my God. Yeah, I was upset because I at first was like, this is the alliance we all needed. And Maddie says like, oh, I thought I wouldn't like Ashley. And I'm sitting here like, why wouldn't you like Ashley? Like, okay, maybe Maddie's like not a high drama person, but like, girl, I saw you on Floribama Shore. You and Ashley have a lot in common. In the best ways.
Yeah, I mean, I think they would have gotten along. I mean, unless she just didn't like some of the stuff that Ashley has been saying or doing and stuff like that. But yeah, I wouldn't think they would have any type of bad blood.
And it all falls apart. Every now and then I'll fall apart. My hesitation was like, should I sing? Should I not? I don't want to sing, but now I've hesitated. I'm sorry.
I'm proud of you.
I'm glad people aren't listening to podcasts these days.
How about the fact that Al CT... from Beyond the Grave is giving advice to Rogan about being calm in the show. CT, of all people, is like, this is how you win the show. You be calm, you befriend people. This is what you do. And this is Rogan's godfather of advice.
Well, here's the thing. Rogan, as demonstrated by him not helping D in the elimination, cutting to that, I don't think Rogan's seen a minute of the show either. And I don't think he knows that CT was once the CT 1.0. All he knows is Pops.
That's true.
But we know the truth. We know the truth.
He doesn't know face-eating CT.
The other funny thing with CT this episode is like Kyle's congratulating Jay, like welcoming into the fold of people who've beaten CT. And it's like, I don't know if Kyle's trajectory on the challenge is like anything you want to be associated with.
Yeah, I guess probably not.
It's a bad omen for Jay, potentially, coming off of last week.
Although Kyle's down like a fixture on the show, so if Jay could kind of reach that level, that'd be pretty good for him.
Let that be the only similarity.
Yeah. Oh, God, could you imagine a love triangle between Jay, Paulie, and Kara next season? That'd be a lot of fun.
I honestly can't imagine Jay giving a shit about any of that. Like, I would be...
Jay and Kara would be the most random pairing of two people from the show, I think, ever.
More than Thomas and Kara? Or Tom, whatever his name is, the twin?
Yeah. Yeah, the twin.
Ever forget that.
I did. Now I remember.
I think Jay actually is more her speed than Tom.
Probably.
The Jay thing, I don't know. I Jay was in a love triangle. Like, with someone he supposedly cared about on X on the Beach. And, like, yes, he got riled up, but, like, it was so boring that, like, I cannot imagine. Jay has moved on a good path from X on the Beach to now. I don't want to see him go back to Love Triangle Jay. Mm-hmm. It wasn't cute.
Yeah. No.
Speaking of not cute, let's talk about Bear's bullshit.
Yeah. He's putting on the charm for Kayla, trying to make it work. And Anissa, right place, right time. Delivers the line perfectly about it's not going to work with a straight face. person. This Anissa once again is living out the my dream for her to be this person, and it's going great.
I'm excited for you, but what's freaking me out is like Bear is really bringing me back to like elementary school or middle school. Like this is like truly, and Jenna lays it out perfectly. Like Bear grabs a fire extinguisher and basically like chokes everyone out with the gas as a way to get attention from Kayla. I'm just like, I haven't seen this. I mean, I never saw this in elementary school or middle school either, but at least like with somebody who doesn't have a fully developed like prefrontal cortex or whatever those like decision-making things are, like Bear is a fully grown adult. I don't understand why he thinks it's a good idea. Yeah. And he doesn't really have any repercussions for it.
No, none. If anything, he's like the sympathetic figure because people get mad at the people that were going after him. That was crazy.
It's truly
Ashley getting mad at Bear. People are mad at Ashley for going after Bear.
Now, where do you side on the spit? Because once, you know, like a great Seinfeld episode, we have a magic loogie here. Ashley spits in Bear's face, allegedly, whatever. I don't know that I saw it make contact, but she spits in Bear. On Bear. Whose side are you on? The side of the spitter, the side of the hitter? No one hit, but whatever.
I definitely think spraying a fire extinguisher is a lot graver of offense than spitting said residue in that person's face.
I like Maddie. Now, I actually don't know where spitting in someone's face is not disrespect. Like, she's like, where I'm from, it's disrespect. Like, where I'm from, it's disrespect too, Maddie. I think everyone's disrespect. No one's like, oh, wow, you really respect me. Thank you for the saliva on my face. And I think spitting in your face is gross when people resort to that on reality television. However, Ashley really did manipulate me in her confessional to her side, because at first I was like, that's like, Bear's so obviously wrong that like to give him the attention of spitting on him is just like he'll feed off of that. It doesn't actually like hurt him and just makes you look bad. But when she described it as taking all of the residue that she had accumulated from him and spitting it onto him, then I was like, okay, that seems like a logical response to me.
Yeah, I mean, I understand it. I don't know how, I wouldn't say logical, but I understand it. But then what I don't understand is why all of a sudden Ashley is now like the vile person here. I mean, I guess maybe like when Maddie goes after her, which also I don't understand why Maddie's now getting involved and taking shots at Ashley, who I thought like 2 hours ago they were best friends.
I think Maddie is close with Bear. Like, I think Maddie, I do believe that Maddie would, like, Maddie was suspicious of Ashley and already has her preconceived notions and judgments of Ashley. Then Ashley spits in Maddie's friend's face and Maddie's clearly hammered. You know, like, they're all drunk. So I think that's a recipe for Maddie getting involved. I don't think she should have been, but that, like, I, again, understand why she's there. I think the house turns, like you said, you're alluding to, when, I mean, although Maddie does say something rude to Ashley, like, I'm sure you've had a lot worse, you know, in there, which is a gross thing to say to someone. But I think Ashley delivers the lowest blow.
Yeah, I mean, she definitely, she like, what, brought, like, the gun to, like, the hammer fight or whatever. She went, like Maddie's comment was mean, and then Ashley, like, went way over the top. But I mean, that's also Ashley. Like, this is what she always does. She always goes, like, way overboard, way over the top. But again, I mean, Maddie was like so surprised, like, oh my god, Ashley, how could you say that? Like, she did go at her first, like, obviously as she went harder, but Maddie fired the first shot.
This goes right back to the Devin bananas thing, right? It's like, and I don't want to open that, I'm sure you don't either, so I'm saying I'm not opening that, but it's the same principle of like, just because someone fires, I think D actually explains it pretty well, like, just because you fire the first shot, there's certain things that are acceptable on reality television, like, you know, make it like, even that suggestive comment, while Maddie said to Ashley was gross, it's like less personal. That's like more of a throwaway of like, you've not, like, I'm sure you've had something worse in your mouth, like that you could say to anybody, like, insert person here, and it's still terrible to say. Like, I'm not saying it's justified, but to drag someone on a DUI that like was not otherwise coming up on the show is like, I think I don't think it's beyond the scope. Like, it's so horrific. How could you say it? But I think you have to expect everybody to be pissed at you and use it to throw you in for saying it, if that makes any sense.
Yeah. No, I totally agree. But I also just think that it seemed like Maddie was getting a complete pass, that Ashley just like from the clouds, like out of nowhere, went after Maddie when there was like a clear reason why she did. I agree. Like, you probably shouldn't go there. Like, it's not, you shouldn't be doing, like, there's no reason to go that low. But there was like a causing issue. Like, Ashley didn't just go after Maddie for no reason. And that's what it seemed like they were all acting like.
Yeah, but that's the whole thing on Shaws of Sunset right now. And I'm a couple episodes behind. But like, there is a situation where a woman and a man who have been friends for 20 years are having a huge fight. The man is justified in being angry at his friend. And like, the woman has not done nothing for him to get mad at. But then he screams at a party like, she almost died during childbirth. And he says, your uterus exploded because you had so many abortions. Like, it's not that. Yeah, you should really be watching Shaws of Sunset. But it's not like MJ did nothing to Reza and didn't fire the first shot. However,
holy shit.
If you don't, you know, if there's no equal, like, reaction, if you have an unequal reaction, that house is going to dog you out.
Yeah, that's a bazooka to, like, a stick fight. Jeez.
Plus, everybody, I think a lot of it is what Jenna was saying, which is, like, people wanted to put Ashley in. So, like, of course, they're going to act all, like, holy about it.
Mm-hmm. And then, of course, the queen of getting involved in other people's business pops up, Nani, just minding her own business for no reason, pops up, starts getting in Ashley's face once again. Nani's just the best, because you just know every single season what she's going to do, and I always find enjoyment out of it.
I was hoping you'd explain why Nani entered. Like, I didn't hear her music. I didn't hear a cue. I don't know why she entered the ring. There's no reason.
She just heard yelling. She probably had a few too many glasses that night. And she's like, you know what? This is my cue. I hear yelling. I'm getting in. And she does her classic. Like, she's getting in. All the classic Nani moments. This is her. And she's been doing this for a decade.
We would be remiss not to emphasize that alcohol is once again the enemy here. Like, they're all clearly slurring the words and hammered.
Sure, of course.
But I do want to point out, and I say this with no disappointment, as a tribute to fashion correspondent Molly Block, why is Ashley wearing like a flamingo costume and Maddie's in pajamas? Like, Matt, like, I know it's not a flamingo costume, but Ashley is dressed for clubbing in like a crop top and a tight, fuzzy pink skirt. And Maddie and everybody else, I was like trying to look around, like, nobody else seemed dressed to go out besides Ashley.
I don't know. Is it possible like they were just out and they had changed, but Ashley just didn't change yet? I mean, that's a possible. I don't know. The outfits, that's what most sometimes make the show so fun. The outfits, like, they don't line up to like the scenes that are going on, and it's so fun.
Dude, that was wild. I was going to say inconsequential. I guess it had some consequences, but ultimately kind of inconsequential, because I think Ashley would be going in regardless here.
Yeah, it seemed to be sitting up that way, and if there was any chances, tipped it over the edge.
I can't believe I brought up found a reason to bring up a Shaws of Sunset reference. And PVS is not a Shaws person. Am I right on saying that?
No, I don't think so.
She's got to get in there. It's great. That's where the real action is on Bravo. Let's talk about the challenge, because I have a burning question. Ironic to say burning.
Not a freezing question. So this is Cold War. Teams of five teams of five. Three people in the water retrieving puzzle pieces, two people chopping ice to go after a different team to make the water even colder, because if cold water was enough, you need to make it freezing cold, and then you have to solve a puzzle.
I think they should not have showed us the temperature of the water, because I believe it's freezing. I mean, it froze Nelson solid, but I'm looking at the screen, it says 63 degrees, and I'm thinking to myself, is that really that cold?
So I had the same thought. I'm like, is that cold? And then I started thinking about it. And then it is really cold. Because I think if you're in a water and it's like 75 degrees, that's like pretty cold. And then you're getting even colder. Then you dip it into the 50s. I think that's freezing cold. Because obviously you can't get much closer to like the high 30s, because then it's just going to freeze. So that's pretty cold.
I just think they didn't need to show me the number. Because also that's like all this, like they had this great strategy of like, oh, don't put any ice in. And then it was like exactly the same temperature as the other teams when they started. So I just was like, sometimes less information is more. MTV often gives us too little information. Now I'm complaining about too much information. I'm tired. I'm cranky. It's quarantine.
Of all challenges, when they started like explaining the rules, obviously I would never be on the show, but if I was on the show, I would have volunteered to be the ice chopper quicker than TJ would have finished the rules. I'd be like, ice chopper, I'll be that. Give me that. I'll do that.
Well,
no problem.
I'm glad you said that, Brian, because to me, the icebreakers was a completely pointless role. Like, especially given that Nelson froze completely, like a team that was DQ'd because it was too cold when no ice was being added. But but also, like, they all are in power. They don't have to do the puzzle. They literally don't have to do anything. I think I have some ideas of how to change it. I feel like you're going to have a better idea, but I have two ideas to throw at you.
I have one, but we could go through yours first.
Well, maybe we'll overlap. I mean, I think the other two should have had to help with the puzzle. So it should have been like, wait till all five of you get there, because then at least it'd be like too many cooks in the kitchen. Maybe some drama there. Or
yeah, I would say just do the puzzle altogether. But yeah,
that works. So here's why I don't want. I liked that they were still freezing cold while they were trying to move those around. Like, I don't think they should be able to towel off while two warm people like do the puzzle, because I don't think it looked that hard. Like, I liked that they were still cold doing the puzzle. I think that was effective for me. But even better, I think, than my own first idea is have the three people you choose to be in the water the only people who will be able to be in the tribunal if you win.
Hmm. That's good. That, yeah, I like that. Because they're the one really doing the work. So they should be the ones to have the power. That I like.
Because then it's like, okay, well, I don't want to get in the water or risk like screwing up for my team. But then I have no chance of being in the tribunal. Or maybe I don't want to be in the tribunal because I'm not trying to make waves. Or Jordan, I don't want to win, so I'm going to be out. And then they question that because he can't be in the tribunal, or then he'd want to be. Anyway, I think that at least makes it more interesting. I could not understand why two people with ice picks dropping, you know, crushed ice into water that was already cold made any difference on the challenge.
No, the ice pickers were completely useless. And like the fact that Swaggy was like, oh, I'm crushing, sliding the ice down. Like, dude, you're just putting it on an incline and it's sliding in. Like, of all people, like, you're doing the least of the people doing the least. At least Jordan chopping them. He's just sliding. So, all right, that did nothing. But yeah, I think the only option I thought of was if they did this when they could have had teams of six and like the three and three just kept swapping out, like three go in, they get a piece. The other three go in, they get a piece. They keep going in and out. Other than that, though, I think your idea about the three that go in or the tribunal makes a lot of sense.
I mean, I like that, but I think then you don't get, like, they want people to DQ. And if you can, like, get a piece and go out, then everyone finishes. But I like that better than what they did. So
yeah, I mean, the ice, it was completely useless. I think that they were just trying to, like, I guess for a fact to make it colder. But yeah, that did nothing.
And really, the best thing would be if they waited until there were just, 18 people, six teams of three. Like, they just did this too soon. They don't care. Yep.
Also that, no.
Still a good episode.
Yeah. And I love, you know, obviously Nelson seems like he's in very bad shape. It seemed like it was a very serious situation. They take him away and show must go on. TJ just declares the challenge must go on.
Jordan with the great line of, he'll thaw.
I mean, it really looked bad. Like, he was wrapped in, like, the heating blankets and stuff like that. And just, like, bring him down. Like, that's, like, really scary.
Yeah, no, his body, like, whoever said it's, like, dragging a dead body, like, he was frozen solid. Like, full Elsa, full Anna. Like, it was done. Wrap it up.
Yeah.
Glad to see he's okay.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, like, they probably should have quit, but Dee, like, showing, like, her fight, but they go, like, oh, I'm not going to quit. I don't want to quit. I don't quit. But they probably should have just, if they already passed the time of the one team doing the puzzle, they really should have blown the horn. Maybe they didn't reach that point yet. It was just not going to happen by the time they would have done the puzzle and stuff. But if they had reached the point, I don't know why they wouldn't have been blowing the horn at that point.
Well, that's what's unclear. Like, to me, this was a rule on the fly drink, even though it probably wasn't actually on the fly. Like, the essence of it was like TJ's just like, all right, you know what? You're done. Like, come out of the pool. Yeah. Adult Swim. But then
like, for Corey's team, he's like, screw this, I'm not doing it. And like, normally I'm always on TJ's side, but him giving them shit for this, like, we just saw Nelson basically die and someone else is like, nah, I'm good, I'm not doing this, we're not gonna win. And he's giving, like, I think TJ's got to pick his spots for when he's mocking quitters.
Yeah, Will from America says, considering someone just got sent to the hospital for staying in the water too long and now it's almost 10 degrees colder, does anyone have any right to call Corey and Kyle quitters? I mean,
yeah,
I think TJ has to say a gentle something like that, because he was a big troll this whole thing. So I don't think he, like, I don't even remember. At the end, was he like, one team quit? Like, I feel like he didn't give it to them as bad. But I agree with you. And I think part of it is, I agree with you regardless, but especially if you want to do male female elimination days, why do you expect two guys who have absolutely no reason to stay in this water and Bailey, who doesn't want to be thrown in? But even if she did, two guys are going to quit. Why would they do this?
Yeah. No, 100%. There's no upside for them. It's not like they gain safety the next week or anything like that. There is no upside for them in this. So, and they're not like, they don't have like a strong number one female that they want to protect or put them in. So, yeah.
Haley Strong says, how cold would you have to pee to swim in Wes's pee? LOL, I wrote P instead of B. LOL, I'm leaving it.
Yeah. I mean, that was very funny. Very funny by Wes, just showing his smarts. And Anissa, I think this is what I was trying to go for last week, that she dubbed herself the super vet, and they really should use that. They should be having vet and super vet for like her, Wes, Bananas. Like they should be shown as super vet, not just vet.
No, see, to me, this is because they ruined it. Like, you're a vet, you reach a status, what is it, three seasons, and then you're a vet. Like, I think they're ruining it by calling one person a vet. Just like, two wrongs don't make a right to me. Like, just because one person effed up and called a first time returner a vet, like, doesn't to me taint the word vet as I know it. And then I also think with the super, I'm fine keeping it, but like, to take a harsh stance for a change, I just feel like super vet is then going to be like, well, why is Anissa a super vet? She has zero wins. Like, okay, well, how many, like, can someone just come on for 15 seasons and never win and be a super vet? Is Leroy, is it based on longevity in the game? Can you come on and be eliminated and still be a super vet?
We need like a full formula. It's years with wins plus elimination wins equals where's the super vet formula?
You're a rookie or you're a vet. And that's it to me. And MTV didn't have to come in and ruin that terminology.
This for me, one of the funnier moments of the episode, it might just be because of the rule I created last week, but the fact that KC's longest screen time was strictly doing the narration of the challenge that I forbid being part of, like, it was, I was cackling.
Which wasn't even narration of the challenge. It was just a recitation of the rules. Like, she just restated the rules after we watched it for three rounds, which was helpful to me because I got a work email I had to respond to when they were saying the rules. So when I came back, I liked that I got a refresher, although without hearing the rules, I was able to, believe it or not, glean the rules without hearing them again.
It was just so funny. Oh my God.
That was a great rule because I was thinking about it too the whole episode. Like, she freaking wins the challenge, doesn't say a gosh darn word in the tribunal.
She doesn't. I know. I think she said what? I think she said yeah at some point. So
I also heard, okay, he announces the winner. He's like, it's Big T, Anissa. He might have said Casey second or third. I don't know because I skipped writing it down because I thought I misheard because I literally had no idea who it was. Granted, I was thinking C A S E Y in my head and I was like, who the hell's Casey? Like, that blonde woman? Like, who is Casey? And then I saw her and was like, oh, my bad, my bad.
Yep. Oh, man. Too much. It's going to be so fun to track. Because I feel like I think she's going to be here for a while. She's just not a target at all. And she's pretty good at this stuff. So I think she's going to be here for a while. It's going to be so fun to see. Especially on, like, guy elimination days and stuff like that, when she's just not going to be shown at all.
So, like, I guess it's too soon to speculate. But, like, I can't imagine she gets this edit and comes back, even if she wins. Like, I mean, maybe not if she wins, but it's almost like, unless she wins, how is she this invisible for this many episodes and returns?
Yeah, I don't see it. She has no storyline at all. Nothing. Like, she had something in, like, the first episode where it was like, oh, I'm just gonna sit back and watch people and, like, glean. But there, she's not even getting a cutaway of, like, after a fight being like, see, this is why I don't get in the drama, or like, I'm gonna start to try to befriend this person. Like, she's not getting any of that. So
yeah,
I don't know.
I guess, like, I'm thinking now, like, Jenna, Kyle, less so, but still, I think in the category, Josh, they're all invisible with the exception of their confessionals for the most part. Is that fair to say?
Who else besides Josh? Kyle?
I think Kyle's
been in the episodes.
I mean, I think he was there today with Ashley, but I think otherwise he doesn't really have an independent storyline or anything really going on. And he was pretty purple the last three episodes.
He had one
confessional saying that him and Rogan have a fight. That's what I mean. Like, aside from their, I think they're Josh, Jenna, and Kyle, less so Kyle, I said, but like Kyle until this episode, maybe. But Josh, and I could drop him if you want. Josh and Jenna, I think, have similarly.
Melissa, too.
And Melissa.
Been very invisible.
I mean, she had some conversation. Like, she usually gets a description of why she's voting for someone, but otherwise, you're totally right. So, like, the three of them, and I'm sure they're people I'm not thinking of because they're purple, but they don't really have anything going on besides their confession. But at least Jenna and Josh are bringing confessionals.
Right. And you know Jenna will, like, she'll be in the mix. And, like, when, if Kayla or Nani's up for them, like, she'll be in the mix because she has people surrounding her. So there are things ahead for her. With Casey, there's no who knows.
I mean, we know that she's going to have a fight with Zach. And, like, yes, she has this Holy Trinity alliance. But I'm also kind of feeling the case for, like, Jenna doesn't need to be back because she's not really going to give anything.
No, like I said, I'm kind of over her at this point, so.
But, yeah. We'll be on purple watch, I guess.
Definitely.
All right, so we get to the nominations. And are you surprised to see Kyle be the one to sort of betray Ashley? Quote unquote betray.
So is it betray, like how is he betraying her?
So Ashley and Kyle, one, have hooked up. Two are friends. And there was like a quick glimpse when they were out last week of them like laughing at the bar together. Like, they do have a good relationship. I don't think it's a relationship that's like shocking that he would put her in. But I was a little bit like, I don't know why Kyle's taking it upon himself to lead this charge, especially when Maddie is so willing to lead the charge that she cuts him off.
Yeah, I got maybe just he sees the writing on the wall that there really is no place to work with her and there is a place to work with Maddie. So let me put myself in the better position. Plus, I'm sure there's a little bit of jealousy seeing Ashley go to the end and win, and Kyle just hasn't been able to do that. So that probably plays a part as well.
Interesting. I don't know. Kyle doesn't seem like that kind of guy, though. I think it's more of the first. It's the writing on the wall. It's like Ashley sort of cashed her own check here and Bananas. He's loyal to Bananas. That's what they want. And Maddie and Kyle are very close. And the whole house, it's like the first totally, is it the first unanimous one? I guess Jay's first one unanimous? This was totally unanimous. No, Swaggy and Jay.
I think there were some votes that went elsewhere, but this was 100%. Like, no one even was talked about to go in. Like, they didn't even bother to show anything else. This was actually 1,000%.
What was interesting to me here is, like, you know, we see some people trying to still play game, thinking that there's a good chance Ashley will come back. Like, Tori's like, you got this. You're going to kill it. I have to vote for you this time, whatever. Like, D is a West disciple, but without the finesse to me. Like, she gives such an unnecessary, we were friends, but I can't trust you anymore. Don't need you in my life. I'm putting you in. Like, why does it have to be so harsh?
It doesn't. I'm very curious your thoughts on, like, the Kyle move where he was like, all right, should we just end this? Like, we don't need everyone going around throwing shots at Ashley. Did you think, like, was that 100% game, 100% like trying to be a nice person somewhere in the middle?
Yeah, I mean, I think it is. I think it's game in the sense of, like, trying to not piss Ashley off even further. I mean, when you say game, do you mean so that, like, the tide doesn't turn?
No, just so, like, if Ashley comes back, that now, like, all right, so I try to get Ashley in because I know she's not, like, everyone's going against her. But if she comes back, which there's a pretty good chance she's going to win elimination, I want her thinking, like, oh, I was nice to her, so she'll be on my side still.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's definitely part of it. I think they are friends. I mean, I'm sure people are going to at me and be like, they had this fight. Like, my understanding is that they are friends. And I think that's why you see Kyle also do the follow-up and be like, I'm so proud of you. You didn't go off. You were great, whatever. Like, I think he handles this very well from a game perspective, from a friendship perspective. If he effed up, do I think he'd be at the top of her kill list if she came back? No. But I still think it's smart play and, like, was, like, dumb of D.
Yeah. I mean, D's, to go from, like, not I understand her why she didn't want to go in the first time. I get it. But now she's like, she's been all over the place. Her social strategic game is, it needs a little work for sure.
Are you surprised we didn't see Ashley pop off?
No, because I don't think she had anything to pop off about at this moment. It's not like anything was. like personal coming
that's
at her.
That's never started, stopped her before. Yeah,
no, that's true. That's true. But at least for this one, like it was very clear she was going in. I think she knew she was going in. So maybe Kyle's decision did kind of calm her down a little bit. So she was kind of able to walk off and be the end of it. So I mean, I guess it's anytime she doesn't pop off is a surprise, but I wasn't surprised.
I don't know why I thought I could take my temperature while you were talking, but it wasn't enough time. just gotta stay vigilant all the time. I noticed here, again, another fashion correspondent moment. I would do absolutely disgusting things for Ashley's shoes. And then, but I was like, why is she wearing that outfit? Cut to, they go out. I must have missed this, but it has never processed to me that they go out right after this nomination, like, except for that I noticed her shoes. I was like, oh, that must be so awkward.
Yep. That's funny. Yeah. Like, all right, let's post it in. And then immediately the cabs are here.
And so I thought she was going to pop off again. Not that she had any real reason, but I was like, okay, once you take this energy to going out, you add alcohol will be once again the enemy, and all hell is going to break loose. I was happy to not see two Ashley Hellbreaks in one episode.
We did see the blossoming of the next great negotiator of our times, and that is Big T, who... this was her coming up. I know, like, last season she had, like, or whatever season she was on, the big elimination episode where she really showed a lot of heart. This was the first time I was like, okay, maybe Big T could be part of this show with how much she was into it, that she had, like, dynamic with Bananas, that she was cutting deals. Like, this was a lot of fun to watch.
Edward Morris says, yeah, what are your thoughts on Big T? I mean, I think Big T is having a similar moment as Tori, and not in the sense that she's becoming a big physical person, but on Tori's first season, she sort of like went into the fold of the big alliance, was likable, people liked her. Like, I think Bananas genuinely likes Big T, and they think she's funny and they like her around, and that will translate, and she's like playing ball with them, she's like doing what she's they say, but in her own way, and I think they like that, and I like it. I think she's one season away from like actually being good at the strategy game. I think right now we're still seeing like she's like a baby deer, like stumbling on her new legs, but like they're there. She has them. But I don't think like pulling, I mean, I want to hear what you think about this, but like pulling each member individually of the Unholy Trinity and like cutting the same deal and then being in the like only a rookie to me says like, What will you do for me if I don't put you in? Like, that's like those deals, I feel like, are never really how deals, long lasting deals, are made anymore. So I think that's sort of newbie stuff. But did you think that those were like actual good moves or just like fun stuff from Big D?
I actually thought they were smart. I think going after that threesome, it was pretty smart, because for the girls, like those, like Kayla, not like those are some girls that have friends in like from the guys and other girls, that there's a good chance they'll be in the tribunal. They're pretty powerful as a group of three. So I think it was actually pretty smart to try to cozy up to them, and for her to come up to them. They don't see her as a threat, so they're going to be fine to agree with it. Now, I don't know necessarily if they will live up to it, because again, she's not much of a threat. So it's like, oh, we're going to screw Big T. Like, what is she really going to do to us? So I think it's fine for her to start making these deals. I just don't know how much weight they really have.
Well, that's more to think. I don't think it was like not smart to talk to them, but I think like the way for Big T to really get in is sort of like how she got in with Bananas, is to just be Big T, and like everyone will like her, and then they'll be friends with her, and then they'll protect their friends. I think she was really smart to disassociate with Ashley and to like be vocally saying that to people, like, oh, now I see what a snake she is. Now I agree with you. I'm not, because she was like being looked at poorly for being so intertwined with Ashley. And so I think she said that nicely, but I don't think like sort of throwing her weight around because she's in a 5-person tribunal where she clearly won't be calling the shots is like gonna work on those three women. Like Nani or Jenna, like one of them is like, well, my friends are in the tribunal, so I didn't think my name would be thrown around. Like, I don't buy this. So I thought that was like a little, like, I think it worked out for her, and I love her, and I'm glad it worked out for her, and I'm happy with the good Big T edit. But I don't, like, I think that could very easily backfire to, like, threaten, quote-unquote threaten, some of the top girls in the game. And maybe it's not coming off as a threat because Big T's got great charm and is able to work it. But, you know, the fine line for a rookie to walk.
Yeah, no, there's definitely, I mean, we kind of saw a little bit of it backfiring. Like afterwards, they were like a big T throwing her muscle around. But I think it goes back to like, it is still like, oh, it's big T. Like, it's just kind of fun to watch her. So I wonder if maybe people are like kind of respecting it, that she's trying to get in the mix, trying to strategize. And that'll maybe grow people to like her even more, that she's trying to like really get in the mix. And maybe people will respect that.
And I did love at the tribunal too. Like, good for her for participating. Like, she's not, she's not like calling shots, but she's like, okay, what are we doing? She's like, I'll put the names in. Like, she's participating in a way that Casey is not, like in a way that some newbies would not, in a way that, I mean, Swaggy did this too, I think, to a certain extent. And Corey, who is newer, did this a little, like, be present there. And like, maybe you're not leading the strategy, but the people who are like thinking that you were a part of it subconsciously.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, you see a lot of other people come in the mix with Anissa and Bananas. Like, they're going to be like, whatever you guys want to do, I'm happy, I'm safe. Just with you guys, do whatever you want. But no, she was trying to set herself up for the future. So, I love that. Love to see that.
What do you think is Anissa's plan here? So, like, Anissa doesn't mention at all wanting to go in. And I can imagine, I understand Big T probably doesn't want to go in because longevity is her best asset in this game. God, who else? Who is the other woman? The Casey. Casey, probably same thing. I think
she sees purple leaving in our own.
I literally can't remember Casey. Like, Casey, I think maybe has more of a reason to want to go in early because she could probably do pretty well. And like, she kind of needs to participate athletically to make a name for herself. Mm-hmm. But I can at least justify her not wanting to throw herself in now and be a bigger target.
Yep.
What's Anissa's plan this season?
If I'm Anissa, I'm looking at Big T and being like, you're my mark. Like, I'm hoping to, when you're in, I'm hoping it's a physical thing and I'm going against you. I think that has to be her target because of all the people that like would be far and away her biggest mismatch and like a physical thing just for the size difference. So I think that's got to be her plan.
Yeah, that makes sense. It was interesting that it didn't come up because like, she obviously doesn't need longevity. If she's here to win, she's got to get the red skull. But yeah, I think that makes sense. All right. That's it.
Yep. I want to talk about Tori for a second because I love Tori. I think she's great. I think she's getting a little too big for her bridges a little bit. She's dictating when she wants to go in, how she wants to go in, who she wants to go in against, the type of challenge she wants to go in against. If I'm some of these other people, I'm like, screw you. Why are we planning our votes and our games about what works best for you? I would be like, you know what? You don't want to go against a puzzle? There's a puzzle. You're going in. Deal with it. Like, I can't believe they're letting Tori have this much power over all of them.
Yeah. I mean, I think this is the vibe I was getting from Tori with the D conversation, like the way she was with D. And I felt like that was a much worse look for D. I mean, I came away from that episode, like messaging Jonathan Foreman and my little peanut gallery, Molly Block and Johnny Langan, and was like, I don't want to come onto this podcast unchecked. Like, why do I like dislike Tori in this episode? And it does kind of seem like it's not getting better. She's still extremely likable and she's got the spirit of like, I don't know, the animal in her, but she's getting a little, dare I say, Jordan-y. Like she's like coming in like she's entitled because she's done well and she's a strong woman and she's tied to like one of the strongest guys in the game. And it's almost like she doesn't care if she has friends. She's kind of going rogue. But I guess she, again, we don't like most seasons of the challenge. I don't feel like we clearly understand who's working with whom. Where do Jordan and Tori fall with Bananas and Wes? I don't feel like we've really seen that. I don't understand it, at least. But I had the same thought, like, why are you telling the tribunal so openly your weaknesses? I mean, I guess everybody knows them and she's still riding the like, you don't want to be afraid of Jordan and me coming back thing.
But like, if you're Big T and Anissa and you're hearing Tori say like, my biggest weakness is puzzles. And, you know, Ashley's one of her biggest strengths is puzzles. And you know, Tori is one of the strongest women in the house. And, you know, you're going to have to eventually beat her if everything goes right in a final. Get her out. This is the perfect spot. Take her out right now.
Yeah, but then it's also like, do you not want to keep her and then you go against her in a puzzle? maybe in the future. Like, I don't know. I think it's probably, my guess from them is like they're working together, probably, one. And two, they don't want somebody with tied to Jordan and her who would probably come back to come back. Mm-hmm. And it's just like too soon. But I do think it was like very surprising for her to so clearly say, I don't want to go in if it's a puzzle, and then like leave herself vulnerable to go in if it's a puzzle.
Yeah.
So I have to believe that she felt confident they wouldn't do that. But also I felt like putting D in was more of a move against D than it was for Tori. That was my sense.
Yeah, I think that's probably right, especially because we get to talk about D just openly admitting to like, yeah, I was the one conspiring with Ashley to go after Johnny. Like, I thought that was kind of a weird thing just to admit, like, you just deny it. Who, like, if Ashley's going to say, like, who's believing Ashley at this point? Well, like, just deny that.
What was crazy is Big T was like, did you ever nominate me, like, throw my name out? And she was like, yes, I did. And then Big T was like, I had no idea she did that. Like, it wasn't a trap. It wasn't like, I think D was like treating everything like everyone already knew what it was, but they did not.
Yeah, there's something to be said about, you know, keeping some of your cards close. I know, like, being honest is, it like gets you a little bit of favor here and there, but also don't be too honest, because then like that doesn't work either.
Well, that's what's strange about D is, like, you know, Bananas later says, I mean, how the tides turn when we get to Purgatory. After a unanimous vote, every single person besides probably Rogan, although we don't see it vocalized, and Wes subtly, is rooting for Ashley. I don't understand why she's a unanimous target if then everybody wants her to stay. But
yeah, that was odd.
Bananas is like, well, D is a more dangerous player because she's learned from Wes. How is D a more dangerous player than someone who is controlled by your biggest ally, Wes? Like, maybe this is an indication that Bananas doesn't really trust Wes, which should be fair. But also, D is so easily manipulated, makes so many game mistakes, made game mistakes like we were just talking about in the tribunal, in the very tribunal. And Ashley is like a winner, like the winningest person in challenge history.
Mm-hmm. Who's openly against Johnny. Like, that when he said it was like, oh, well, I'm obviously rooting for Ashley here because D is Wes's number one. I was like, that is certainly not obvious the way this, after this season has been going along. That's the exact opposite of what I would be thinking you would be doing.
Yeah. And I wanted to say, like, okay, that's like production. Like, you know, they need quotes that say Ashley's going to win. Everybody wants Ashley to win. Then D wins. But like, you know, Bananas is cheering for Ashley during the game. So I didn't understand that. Maybe it's like better the devil you know. And if D goes home, then Rogan is up for grabs and Wes is more loyal and dependent on you because his other option is gone. I don't know. Mm-hmm. This made no sense to me.
Well, I love, though, since we're at the elimination right before that. I don't think they did this the first three episodes, but I guess there's a horn that goes off to announce that it's time for elimination. And I love that.
Yeah.
I think they should do, make sure they include that every week because that's awesome.
I think they had it at least last week. But it is fun, especially like the mundane conversation they're having prior. And it's like, that was a bad impression of that. A siren.
No, that was very cool. So we get to the
only elimination. Good thing to come out of being in the bunker is the siren.
Yeah. I mean, the bunker now is completely useless. Like I said, it's, I hope they move them at some point. I doubt they will, but
I mean, it's, to me, useless. It doesn't affect me. Like, it's the same as a house. They have a pool. They have booze. Like, they're getting in fights. Yeah. They're going out. Like, I think it's stupid, but like, I don't need them to move. Cause to me, it's like just a house.
It's just dark. Like, I like that's seeing true. Some sunlight sometimes. It's just very dark. Even like, cause there, even the challenges, it's like cold and gloomy and stuff. There's no, like, I don't think there's been sun the whole time. So. Give me some.
That's true. We need to feel.
We can't see it ourselves.
We need to feel good show on the challenge.
Exactly. But yeah, so we got to the elimination. Tori sees there's, looks like a puzzle. So she declares she doesn't want it. And she's going to be right because the elimination is a puzzle. Code break.
Was this a puzzle?
I guess it's a mix. Probably less of a puzzle. More of a, it's really more of a crapshoot because, I mean, you're really just guessing where these things are, so it's really a crapshoot.
I didn't feel like this was a puzzle at all. At first, I thought it was going to be one of those codes where you, like, spin the wheel, and I never really know how they work, but, like, they've had them on the challenge, they have them on Survivor. It's like you spin, you, like, crack a code, whatever. Like, this was literally just Wheel of Fortune, and I'm sure all of the tiles were in all of the pots, so, like, it didn't matter what it came up as. That was just like a way to stall, like to create more drama. And then, yeah, smash a pot. Hope you get lucky. And then is the puzzle part putting the seasons in order?
I guess, but yeah, that's not really a puzzle because there's like an answer key, really, like a mental answer key. You either know it or you don't. So, yeah.
I think Tori,
I feel like Tori actually probably would have. Yeah. Yeah, Tori probably would have done very well because I think she knows her history. So I think she would have done that no problem. And I mean, but like really like collecting the things, like is there something that Dee did specifically that was better than Ashley collecting the things? I think she just got lucky that the ones she smashed were the ones she needed at that time.
Yeah. Ashley says later, like, oh, one of mine was stuck or whatever. But like maybe that explains why it took her so long to get the last one. But Dee was like three ahead of her. So.
Right.
I think it's interesting that, like, I still think they're purposely trying to make these eliminations ambiguous or like a misdirect so that you can't really predict, like, if it's a, because this wasn't a puzzle. This was more physical, moving that big dice and jumping up, smashing it. It was like luck and physical and having watched the show you're mm-hmm. on. So Kayla probably would have mm-hmm. done terribly in this. But
yeah.
I would love for them to really F with it. And like, I almost thought this was going to happen. Like they set up this crazy wheel and all these hanging potters, like pots and whatever. And then TJ, like they pick someone, like this is going to be a puzzle. So we're sending D down. And then everything just goes away. And TJ brings out just like the little stick. And it's like, you got to keep your hands yeah. on the bar and wrestle it out. Like that would, I would love that.
Yeah, no, I think that'd be great. I also think it'd be good if they even went just straight to it. Like they just line up, like showing this is clearly a physical thing. And like, because you, I feel like it's not a bad thing to give the people that one power, like to know the end, like how give them even more power. Like they deserve that, they earned it. Let them make the decision that's best for them for that week because they earned it. So I think it's good if they mix it up where they really throw them off or really give them, this is 100% what you think it's going to be.
We already talked about everything. I just keep saying, like, I don't understand why everyone's rooting for Ashley. This was kind of a sad performance to me from Ashley. I was, like, really disappointed. I thought she could have, you know, she had a very clear advantage having been on the seasons and having had access mm-hmm. to U.S. television that Dee didn't have. So I thought, right. like, it was kind of sad for her to get beaten so badly in this.
Yeah, I mean, if she got to the puzzle, she... or whatever you might call it. I feel like she probably would have done it in like 10 seconds. But yeah, I don't really, it was kind of unclear as though, I guess she said that some of them pieces were stuck for her, but it's very unclear why she would have struggled so mightily at this. I don't know. Very, very bad.
But at the end though, like as I'm being a bad sport saying that it was sad, I think Ashley demonstrates why she is able to come in with a clean slate every season. I mean, I guess this season it kind of bitter with Bananas like exposing it, but like she just shouts like, you know, it was just a game. I love you all. And like, I thought that was like really good sportsmanship from Ashley, which is pretty rare in the challenge, especially with someone like Bear and Jordan. But mm-hmm. but then she goes right to, and Wes, you're the absolute worst, which I also love. Like, that's also why Ashley is so great.
Yeah, and almost like shitting on Wes is kind of the same thing as being like a good sport because everyone gets behind that and like Wes doesn't take that seriously. So that's almost like the exact same thing. You're like, you're not going after someone who's going to hold that like against her for doing that. So that was like perfect.
I have no other thoughts.
Good for Dee. I mean, she everyone can kind of get off her for not going in last time. So she gets her win this time. But do we think now Dee... since obviously they're not going to go after Jenny a lot, is Dee now someone that the girls might just keep targeting to try to like get her out since she has a skull?
Well, I don't really know like what her game plan is now because she's not, you know, she turned on her own alliance here with Ashley, which I guess she had to do. So like who are her allies in the house, right? Like Rogan, Wes, by proximity to Wes, maybe Bananas, although Bananas seemed instrumental in trying to get Dee out. So I think she has like friends in high places and high ability of her own merit to be in the tribunal. But otherwise, I don't see why people, I mean, I think she has a good likelihood of being sent in by the tribunal mm-hmm. if the women in the tribunal don't want to go in to try to take out some of the tougher players.
Yep.
But because she's expendable to them. But I don't see people really wanting to go in against Dee.
Yeah, I don't think she'll be, I think you're right. I don't think she'll be nommed in. I think there's a good chance she'll be tribunal then once or twice for the rest of the way.
It'll be interesting to see.
Yep. It will be.
First, who else? Oh, Jenny has a red skull. Yeah. Jenny didn't come up, so they're clearly not taking that approach. But
yeah, I bet we don't really see much of Jenny for the rest of the way, because outside of her probably making a few tribunals, because no one's really going to go after her in elimination. She's not really someone to get in drama, so she can go to sleep and just pop up at the final and probably win, but or at least finish like pretty well.
All right, should we do Twitter? We don't have a guest host to ask. Twitter, drinking game, 5-star reviews. What do you want to do?
I'll do, I got the 5-star right here, so I'll shout out VO952 and Hey Notham. Thank you very much.
Drinking, if you want to leave a 5-star review, you can go to robhaswebsite.com/challenge iTunes, and we would really appreciate it, especially because we don't think you're out there, you know?
Yeah.
It's a dark time.
Gotta get up to our, what was the goal? 600?
Right? I mean, you could raise it right now if you want, but yeah. No, it was not 700. Whew, relax. all right. Oh, sorry.
Yeah, drinking game. So we got, he says maybe one for date night TJ. Said he had a snazzy coat on during the elimination. So I didn't notice his coat.
Yeah, no, I like that.
All right, so we'll give him one. 3 times for Casey speaking. There were not narration, apparently. She spoke 3 times. I don't know if we're counting. I feel like I should have also clarified that her vote probably shouldn't count, because that's almost the same as narration. So I don't know if that's in there, but I'm adding that. Like, if she's voting, that doesn't count.
What about if she's putting her person into the... I thought we err on the side of more drinks.
Yeah, you can, but
she talks not in a confessional.
I think it's funnier for this one to err on the side of, like, she really needs to speak. Like, anything that's not, like, she's being forced to speak. Like, she has to vote, so...
All right, Kyle, you heard the man.
Producer changing the rule on the fly. Too cold, end the round early, so you're right. So, ended that early. 1 punch ticket. He said it to make the final. 3, my final from TJ. And 5 times Bear saying he's in love.
That was a great one.
So 14 total.
I am going to add, if a challenge or an elimination clearly favors someone, or an element of a challenge or an elimination clearly favors someone. We saw it with Jay, where he's like, I'm a rock climber, like I can hang on this bar the rest of my life. And we certainly saw it today, where like D has never watched the show.
Right.
So I feel like that's gonna be something that comes up a lot. So energize the challenges a little bit, and anytime that happens, take a drink if you want.
There you go. Mine is, this is like another small hope that I always enjoy after nominations. It seems like the person who gets voted in always walks over the table that's separating them, and then sometimes someone else does it also. So anytime someone walks over that table, take a drink.
That's funny. Though Ashley is probably the greatest offender.
Yeah, she also then stands out at speeches and it does all that sort of stuff, but all those will count.
All right, so let's do the Twitter. Digital communications manager Megan Elizabeth brings up that Jordan and Tori are doing a version of the FabFitFun box. I did see this. I'm still a Twitter, Instagram follower of Tori's. Tori and Jordan have a new song out also called Reese's Pieces, if you want to listen to that.
I think there's a copyright infringement on that, no?
So Tori says, announcement, Jordan and I are creating our very own box. Inside will be all of our fave workout products, brain boosters, and ways to help you relax. Maybe there's a virtual meet and greet too. Sign up below to get notified when it comes out. And then there's like a mock-up of the box. You know, keep the hustle up, guys. Like, I want to make fun of this, but I also think like people, I've had so much crazy stuff delivered to me during quarantine. Maybe I'm going to order this.
Well, like, now I'm curious, like, what have you, what's the craziest thing
that I've ordered?
Yeah.
My very intricate paint by number, ooh, my candle making kit. I just ordered a coloring book yesterday that's animals and cocktails.
Did you make a candle yet?
I made a candle today. I made a first one like a week ago. Do you have me muted on Twitter, Brian? I made one that is like half lit, and then I made another one today that was beautiful. I had lit during Survivor. It's a great way to feel accomplished. It takes about like 5 minutes, and then it's like, oh, I did this today.
That would be more intricate.
Well, just some melting wax and putting in different colored wax and then pouring it into a different container to be a different shape wax. It's still the same wax. Mm. I mean, I'm not, you know, harvesting it. I don't know where wax comes from. I'm not making it. You add a little scent, you add color. It's nice.
Nice.
Feeling good. What else have I mean, I've ordered, that was just off the top of my head, Brian.
No, those are all very, that's very creative.
I ordered the paint by number that's ruining my life and the candle making kit, what, like before it officially started, but like right at the cusp, because I was like afraid we would like have act, like, I don't know, I thought it would be like Y2K and I'd be like doing paint by number by my own candlelight. I don't know what I thought would happen, but I was like, dude, I'll run out of stuff to do and I'll like need to entertain myself.
So if the world's ending, rather than like canned goods and stuff, you're stocking up on candle making and paint by numbers.
Brian, do you think that I didn't hit the supermarket so hard?
Of
I didn't.
Course.
I went to the supermarket today for the first time in 2.5 weeks.
Ooh.
I always have a 2.5 week supply going. I mean, I'm not eating. I'm eating like a spoonful of peanut butter for lunch, but I can get by.
I'm eating too much.
Well, you know, no one can see you, so it's fine.
That's true.
All right. I don't even know. Josh, just in case you were wondering how Josh felt, he said, "You never spit, fam," facepalm emoji. Ashley, recognizing like a true sister that alcohol is the enemy, says, "Too much wine," upset at yourself emoji, awkward smile emoji, awkward smile emoji. Aika Wong and Josh Martinez had a conversation about the challenge, if you're interested. Cool. Then Maddie said, "I should have stayed out of it, but that bunker will make you crazy. Anyone would explode." Okay.
Guess the bunker's causing damage.
Josh says, "Being the first to go in any challenge sucks. All these teams had an advantage because someone saw how we solved the puzzle and told everybody else. So all the dumb talk, save it." Laugh cry emoji.
Also, speaking of going in first, I know one of the teams decided not to put the ice in, but it was unfair that as you went, the water got colder. So it was an advantage to go first because it was warmer.
It was a few degrees warmer. I think it was like 62 degrees and then it was 59 the next time. So, okay. Fair enough.
Yeah.
All right. Bailey said, "So before y'all even start, Kyle and Corey were like, 'Bailey, do we really have to get in? Are you ready to get out? You're safe as hell.' Ha ha. Wasn't having it." Shrug emoji, laugh cry emoji. Best decision ever.
Good for
her. Yeah, I mean, they didn't even want to do the challenge. Yeah. I agree.
No, good for her. No, no shame in that.
So many Josh tweets. All right. I think that's... who cares? Bailey said, "Every time we went to the club, Swaggy and I pretended it was date night. We were forever ducked off." Laugh cry emoji. Huh? Okay.
There you go.
Do you think that's it? I mean,
Do you think they'll go to different bar, or do you think it'll be the same one the whole season?
Isn't it always the same bar every season?
It usually is, but I don't know. You never know. Maybe they'll go to a different one.
All right. Be on the lookout for that. For sure.
I feel like they usually show the name of it. I don't think they've shown the name of it, this one. Usually they do.
Yeah, they must have different sponsorship deals.
Yeah.
Like, the bar didn't pay to have their name on it this time.
Mm-hmm.
I'm distracted because a while ago, I pulled what I think is my favorite Brian tweet to date, and I forgot to read it yesterday because I was distracted by our great guest. And now I'm scrolling and trying to stall, but I can't find it. And I wanted to be like, I have another great tweet that I missed. Brian Cohen tweeted, "Just had a quote, might as well get drunk moment. So that's where we're at." Next tweet, "Two glasses of wine and two Jack and Cokes, and we're just about there. So happy Saturday." Next tweet, "And yes, I'm on a Zoom call with people before you all judge me."
Maybe I should, you should have me on mute more.
This is a great... Well, you can't have... That I should have you on mute, or you should have me on mute?
No, you should have me.
This was worth following you for all of these years, because this is... What's so great about this is, like, you know, the betches moment of, like, might as well get drunk moment. Like, so that's where I'm at, which, like, I'm fine with. But then to add, like, two glasses of wine and two Jack and Cokes, baby. Now we're on our way. I was like dying when I saw that. Yes, Ryan. Oh. Happy Saturday.
It's dark times. I'm trying to find entertainment anywhere I can.
And then like once a week you tweet like, I really miss baseball, yep, in case anyone forgot from the week prior.
I'm sure there'll be another one next week because I'll be watching some old clip. I'm like, fuck, I really want to watch a game right now.
All right, I've got to go. I've got people to see, places to be.
You can subscribe.
I don't even remember what that was from, but that was from something this episode.
Sure, if you say so. So subscribe at robiswebsite.com.
Wait, you don't remember that? They had a whole conversation in the beginning of like, I have places to be, I have people to see.
No, I missed that.
All right, well, let's just get out of here.
robiswebsite.com/shoutsitunes. Follow me on Twitter at Cohen with a C, Brian_. Follow you.
At Lash Tweets.
We'll be back next week for episode 5. Until then, have a good one.